Good morning.
Today's Bible reading will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 23, and we'll be reading from verses 25 through 27. So that's Matthew, chapter 23, verses 25 through 27. And it reads, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and uncleanness." This ends the Bible reading.
Amen.
Church.
Good morning.
It's good to be here on this honorable day. We certainly serve a great God who has given us more than we have asked for and more than we deserve. For he has blessed us above measure to spare our lives to come to this place once again to worship him in spirit and truth. God has been good to us this past week with fine weather, very unusually warm weather, so we want to thank God for that. Having lived here in the United Kingdom for some years, I have come to appreciate that when you see the sun, the S-U-N, that you must learn to appreciate it. But more than that, when we appreciate the S-O-N, the Son of God, who gives us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We welcome each of you to in our midst this morning in our worship as we consider the word of God this morning and encourage you to pay careful attention to the word as it goes forth that it may fall on good ground. This morning I invite your kind attention to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. It is here in Matthew 23, which contains our Lord's final public message. As he came to the end of his public ministry, he found it necessary to speak this message to those in the audience. It was a rebuke of the false religion that paraded itself under the guise of truth. And I want to suggest to you today that the Church of Christ here in Leicester in 2025, we should commit ourselves to spiritual transformation. Spiritual transformation. In other words, God expects for us to be different, or much different spiritually than we were last year this time. And so my question to us today is, what has changed? What has changed in you? And what do you see in me? And what can I see in you in a spiritual sense as we consider the message, what's in your cup? What's in your cup? Jesus' audience were the Pharisees. The name Pharisee came from a word which meant to separate. The word Pharisee means to separate. The Pharisees were separated from the Gentiles, and they considered these, the Gentiles, to be the unclean. And Jews, and anyone who did not practice the Jewish law, they were called a publican or sinner from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And from anyone who opposed the tradition that governed their lives. And so, here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, look at verse number 1. Look at, meet me in verse number 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying in verse 2, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to the works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Verse 5 says, "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called Rabbi, man, Rabbi, Rabbi. And so they had a false concept of ministry according to verse number 4. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on man's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. To the Pharisees, ministry men handed down laws to the people and adding to their burden. In other words, the Pharisees were harder on others than they were on themselves. And Jesus came to lighten man's load. We do not live in a legalistic culture or religion. Jesus, if you remember in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am lowly, meek and lowly in heart, and I will give you rest to your souls." And so religion that says do but do not do, and legalistic religion that always shows or makes burdens heavier. They also had a false concept of greatness. Verses 5 through 12, to them success meant recognition by men and praise from men. They were not concerned about the approval of God. They used their religion to attract attention, but not to glorify God. And so in today's text, in Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 through 27, we will focus on these verses. Woe to you, Jesus said, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, verse 27, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear to be righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And so Jesus used two illustrations in the text, the cup and the dish, or the platter in some texts say us, and also the sepulcher or tomb. They both stated the same truth. It is possible to be clean on the outside and at the same time defiled on the inside. Imagine using dirty dishes to eat your food from. Someone said, "But that doesn't sound very appetizing." Whatever you put into the dish or cup will also become defiled. And I want to suggest that use the cup as an illustration of the inside of ourselves. The cup is our heart. What is in your cup? And so, Jesus here, we must not read these woes in Matthew chapter 23. There are 8 woes that Jesus pronounces here, where he publicly calls out the Pharisees for false righteousness. We will focus again in verse 25 to 27. We must not read these series of denunciations or woes with the idea that Jesus lost his temper and was bitterly angry. Certainly he was angry at their sins and what those sins were doing to the people, but his attitude was one of painful sorrow that the Pharisees were blinded to God's truth and to their own sins. So they imagine again that the Pharisees had a problem with their cup. Moreover, what's on the inside of the vessel is more important than what's on the outside. But where does the world today put most of its emphasis today in terms of our cup? What about our appearance, our status, our reputation, or seeking to be accepted by God or others? Unfortunately, the world spends most of its time focused on the external or the outside of the cup. What about our hair, our clothing, our houses, our teeth, makeup, and physical appearance? And here's an interesting fact, church. The beauty, healthcare, and wellness industry are all a multi-billion pound industry. Why? Because it focuses on the externals. Well, church, where is our focus? Where is our focus today? Is it on the outside or the inside of our cups? Over and over, Jesus challenged the religious leaders who should have been teaching and setting the example of godliness before the people. But unfortunately, the opposite was the case. Therefore, he had to publicly call out their behavior because they were too focused of their attention to appeal to or appear to be godly on the outside rather than working on the inside of their hearts. I'm going to suggest to you as well that every one of us have something to work on. Every last one of us have something to work on. All of us have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we need to focus on. Don't worry. Listen, I've got as much trouble as you. Amen. I've got as much trouble as you. That's why we come to the church house, to work out what's on the inside of our cup. This should have come as no surprise to the Jewish leaders, however, because Jesus had already warned them about vain religious practices in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, about doing good to please God, verses 1 through 4. And he talked about praying to be seen of men in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, and also about fasting to be seen by men in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. In other words, they were performing what appeared to be righteous deeds outwardly before men and for their praise, and to be thought of as more spiritual than others. Brother Paul said in the adult Bible class, he's talking about the elders and deacons, and he asks a question about character. Men of good reputation, how do we treat one another? How do you treat your co-workers? What do they see in you, your children, the neighbors, the public? What do they see in us? We call ourselves Christians, but what is in your cup? So God is looking for some folk, and he had to call these religious folk out because they were on the outside looked all right, but on the inside things were not as they should. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, but all their works they do to be seen by men. Instead, they were preoccupied with the externals only. Instead of focusing on the inside of the cup, in other words, their hearts. You remember that under the old law, the unclean or uncleanliness or defilement was focused completely on the externals. In Leviticus chapter 11, verses 31 through 33, Leviticus chapter 11, verses 31 through 33, because Jesus was still under the law. At the time, Matthew chapter 23 was written. The law said in verse 31, these are unclean among you and all that greet. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean. Whether it is an item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, it must be put in water. And it shall be unclean until the evening, that then it shall be clean. Verse 33, an earthen vessel in which any of them falls, you shall break, and whatever it is in shall be unclean. And so all of these things focus on the outside, but not on the inside. And so under the law, defilement focused on completely on the externals. On the which included vessels and cups and dishes, even there, even here, it was what went onto and into the cup that defiled it. Preoccupied as they were with appearances, the scribes and Pharisees had learned that Jesus had not learned that Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew was instituting what we call an upside down kingdom. Do you know what that is? An upside down kingdom. In other words, the rich will be made poor. The poor will be made rich. The strong will be made weak. And the weak will be made strong. We live in a world where we think that strength comes by being on top all the time. But Jesus said, no, listen, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be, we have to be one another servants. The rich, you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Well, the rich man was living it up on this side of life, but when he died, the tables were turned. How we treat other people is more important. And so he had the opportunity to serve Lazarus, just like you and I do. And he turned the blind eye, and when death came, amen, the Lord had his kept the last seat. And so you and I, as members of the Lord's church, have an opportunity what's on the inside of the cup. We too must not be so preoccupied with maintaining the outward appearance of the cup while neglecting to place the greater emphasis on daily housekeeping on the inside of our cups, in other words, our hearts. So obsessed that the outside was pure that every time Jesus encountered the religious elite, his words were like a sharp two-edged sword that would pierce their defiled hearts, which were like dead man's bones. They would seek to ignore and harden their hearts to the point in which they sought to kill Jesus. Why did they want to kill Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because they wanted the outside to look good at any cost. They would have been good car salesmen today. You ever bought a used car? I bought a used car. When I went to America many years ago, I bought a used car and found out years later that I paid too much. Because I didn't know. You got some slick salesmen up there, and you got some folk in the church like that. You can fool me, I can fool you, but you cannot fool God. Amen. And so, church, listen now. What about us? Where is our emphasis? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 23 and verse number 25, he called them hypocrites. He called them hypocrites again in verse number 27. Hypocrites in verse number 27. Now the Greek word for hypocrite is Hippocrates, which means an actor or a stage player. In other words, a hypocrite is someone who just plays a role. We can say all the right things and do all the right things on the outside and appear to be something, but on the inside, something else. This word Hippocrates is a compound noun which is made up of two Greek words. The first one is hypo, which means under. Those in the medical profession, you have a hypodermic needle. Means it goes under the skin. And then the second word is krinine, which means to sift or decide. The word's original meaning implied a deficiency in the ability to sift or to decide. So the word hypocrite is used to describe someone who pretends to be someone or something that they are not. Amen. Jesus said, you shall know them. How? By their fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. Well, I can tell you. I say, well, sir, what are you? I'm a chicken. Amen. I'm a chicken. Well, you say, well, how is it that you're a chicken when you don't look like a chicken? Amen. Because listen, it's gotta look like a chicken and act like a chicken and taste like chicken. Amen. You see that, church? So listen, you shall know them. Watch this now. This is going to make sense to you in a minute. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse number 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and uncleanness. Hypocrisy is a concerted effort to mask our failures, bitterness, and sin by avoiding the greater and weightier matters of our hearts. We can sometimes be guilty of pretending that everything is okay. I know I've been probably spent high time. God is good. And all the time, God is good. But we're not good all the time, are we? Amen. Life is like a seesaw. Sometimes you're up, And sometimes you're down, but you're not always up. Amen. And so we can pretend like everything's okay, that we don't have any problems, that we don't have any sins. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that we don't have the things that we harbor inside of our cups that we cannot fix by ourselves, that we must allow the word to penetrate our cups or hearts. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to church. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know how change takes place? How do you change? How do you become more like Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Three things must take place for change to happen. And you've heard me say this before, it's the three H's. The first H is the head. That's education. Education. Romans 10, 17, so that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The second half of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse number 20 says, teaching them to observe, that education. You cannot become a Christian without first being educated. Somebody said that Christianity is salvation by education. And so the first thing we must do is we must learn something. And then the second H is the heart. Not this heart, but this heart. That's the mind. That's what God wants to transform in us. That's Romans chapter 12. Be ye transformed. Transformation means that you move from one state to the other. See, when you were in the world, you were one thing, and when you become in the Christ, you become something else. Didn't Paul say that you have become what? A new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. If I get a new pair of shoes, it means I don't have the old pair anymore. They're not like the old pair. They are a new pair. I replace what is old with something that's better. And so, the word of God through education helps me understand I've got to do some changing, and then I've got to make up in my mind that I cannot talk that way, act that way, stand that place, and associate with that. That's transformation. And then the third H is hands, that's application. Education, transformation, application. Amen. You got to do something with it. You don't come to church every Sunday and just sit here and take in all this information if you're not going to apply it. The message is no good unless you do something. But can folks see that you have changed? There's a song that says, I've been changed. I've been healed. I've been delivered. Can folks see that something has changed in you? Say, man, I remember you used to curse like a salesman. But I've been changed. Well, what made the difference? I just have to say Jesus. Because I recognize that my inside was wrong, and so the outside, because what's on the inside comes out on the outside. Amen. Hair, heart, and hands. That's what we come here for. And are you getting uncomfortable? Amen. Don't get mad with me, get mad with the word. And so, this gives us an opportunity, church. And so it is through study and consideration of the word of God that we come to an understanding that that true cleansing begins on the inside, in the heart, and extends to the transformational living that we're talking about. On the inside, they were like, that they and we today practice the art of whitewashing. Tradition states that just before the Passover, so that no unsuspecting person would innocently rub up against the dead and thus defile himself, they would whitewash the tombs. In Bermuda, where I'm from, our graves are above ground. They dig about 6 feet under and lower the casket down into that grave. And then they would put concrete slabs on the top of that tomb, and then afterwards the folk at the cemetery would whitewash the tomb. Looks good on the outside. Looks good. Amen. But on the inside, we go up dead man's bones. That's what Jesus was calling the Pharisees. They were like whitewashed tomb. And so, church, what this whitewashing that the Jews were doing, Jesus describes, like refers to beautifying to attract attention and draw near people near to admire the individual. Oh, he's so religious. Oh, she's so nice. Here's the cup. What's on that's all external. But what's on the inside of that cup, church? This outward adornment distracts from the corruption and defilement contained within. Scribes and Pharisees are called hypocrites because they are like beautified tombs. They seem lovely and attractive if judged by outward appearances, but inside, it is the greatest measure of defilement. Outwardly, they look so pious, so zealous for the Lord and for the things of the kingdom, but inside, they are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. In the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel 16, we don't have time to read all of it. When the prophet Samuel was called to anoint David as king of Israel, while Saul was still alive, he was commanded to go down to Jesse, who paraded his sons before Samuel. And here what he said, this must be the Lord's chosen. But Samuel judged wrongly. But the Lord said in 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Huh? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the cleansing blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the, not in my sight, right in the sight of God. But you're saying to yourself, Brother Smith, I hear what you're saying, and Jesus can see folk and know man's heart. We can't know people's heart, can we? But how can we know what's on the inside of folks' cups? How can you and I determine what's on the inside of somebody's cup? Well, I'm glad you asked that question too. Galatians chapter 5. See, we gotta be some cup inspectors. You gotta be some cup inspectors. Turn with me, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. It begins in verse 16. He says, I say then, the apostle Paul speaking with apostolic authority, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You remember we say that walk is a lifestyle. Christianity is not something that you do, it's something that you are. Amen. That's why they're called beatitudes and not do attitudes. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You and I have the outside of the cup. It's the flesh. That's the outside. And there's a war going on. For the flesh, verse 17, lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You ever ask yourself, why do they do that? Why do they think that? Why do they say that? Because of this verse. There's a war, a spiritual war going on. But it says in verse number 18, here's the text. But if you are led by the Spirit, in other words, you've got to allow the Spirit to lead you. You can't lead the Spirit. You've got to volunteer for this. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of small l. That's the law of sin, death, and hell. That's what that law is referring to. But he says now, here's the evidence of what's on the inside of your cup if you're led by the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, you can see it, are clear, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, in other words, shameful things. You know, summertime is coming, and folk see a little bit of sun, and folk want to come up in the small pieces. Brothers, sisters, small pieces. You've got too much children, and you got to cover it up. Amen. And who's he talking to? Talking to the church, religious folk. This is not the world. He said uncleanliness, lewdness, adultery. In other words, worshiping false gods. He said, well, I'm not an adulterer. Idolatry, sorry. Idolatry. You know, football is a big, and here in Britain, huh? That's idolatry. Folk, you got folk more faithful to their sports club than they are to the Lord. If it's an away game today, if something's happening over at the stadium, they are there. They're faithful. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious. In other words, causing trouble. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies. Verse 21, envy. Anybody have envy people? Huh? Somebody got a new suit on, somebody got something you like. I wish you got that from. Huh? Or is it just me? It must be just me. Let's keep it moving. Murderers, drunkenness, reverence, wild party. No, you don't have to, no. And listen, you say, but man, he didn't say anything I'm doing wrong. And here's a catch-all, and the like. Anything I miss is in and the like. And he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I hope that none of these qualities are on your resume. You got some work to do. What he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. What is fruit? What is fruit? Fruit is the evidence of the tree. If I say I've got an apple tree and I take you to my back garden and I say, man, you see my tree? And look, man, it's looking good, Brother Smith. Nice leaves, nice branches. But you're saying, what's the problem? Where's the fruit? Where is the fruit? And see, you've got to check the roots before you can get the fruit. Huh? And so, it's not what's on the outside that's important, it's what's on the inside. And what's on the inside comes out on the outside. And so if the inside of that tree is apples, you've got to see some apples. Huh? You know, the world has expectations. And the church has expectations too. If the sign out front says McDonald's, you expect to see some Big Mac and some fries on the inside. If the sign out front says library, you expect to see what? Some books on the inside. If the sign out front says Church of Christ, you're going quiet on me. What you expect to be on the inside? You expect to see some spirit-filled and spirit-led brothers and sisters on the inside. So if the world has that expectation, God has expectations of you and me today. What's in your cup? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those, in verse number 24, who are Christ, have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And here's verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. That must be your lifestyle. Huh? You know, character. What is character? Character is who you are when nobody sees you. Character is who you are when nobody's looking. Huh? I can pretend Brother Smith is so nice, you know, but you don't see me on my job. You know, how am I treating folk that I'm talking to? How am I treating my fellow neighbors? Huh? Where's the fruit? What's in your cup, church? So, he says, let us, verse 26, not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So I'm going to leave you with this. Imagine you're holding a cup of coffee when somebody comes along and bumps into you making you spill your cup of coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? You say, well, you spilled it because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea, a cup in your cup, you would have spilled tea. The point is, whatever's inside your cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and bumps into you, which it will, whatever is inside of you will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get ready. So we must ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When life gets tough, what spills out? Joy, gratefulness, peace, and humility? Or does anger, bitterness, harsh words, and ungodly reactions come out? You get to choose. So today, let's work towards filling our cups with gratitude, forgiveness, joy, words of affirmation, kindness, gentleness, and love for others, because what's on the inside of our cup will come out, especially when we get rattled, agitated, shaken, or somebody or something bumps into our lives. Again, you get to choose what's in your cup. I want to leave you with that message this morning, church, because I want you to know the truth. I struggle every day. Every day. How do I react? How do I treat people? How do I want to be treated? That's based on what's inside of my cup. I get to choose. The Bible says, as much as depends on you, on me, live peaceably with who? All men. If you're here this morning and you recognize that your cup needs to be emptied of some things and needs to be filled up with some things, amen. Filled in with the Spirit. It will be our privilege to pray with you and for you. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing five simple things. You must first of all hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. Believe in Jesus Christ, John 3:16. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as Lord, grasp Romans 10:9-10. And finally be baptized, Acts 2:36. But for those of us who are Christians, I want to suggest that God is not interested so much in numbers, quantity, but rather quality. The quality of our lives. Those of us who wear the name Christian, that word, that name means Christ-like. And that's the label on the outside. But what's really on the inside? If you need prayer this morning, it will be our privilege to pray with and for you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.